It's Thursday, the 21st of April, 2016. Happy birthday to Rodney Stuckey. Red Rock Basketball Monster Show brought to you by Loot Crate and Gary B 9109. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to interact with this show as it's going to air live, and for any of your other basketball or fantasy questions, tweet at me at redrock_bball. If you're watching the video, you can see that Twitter handle beneath my head on the screen. Big thanks go to Gary B, and if you want to be like him and sponsor the podcast for a day, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes, and of course Loot Crate, who have been sponsoring the podcast for the last couple of months. They've been a great support for the show, so show your support to them as well by going across to lootcrate.com/redrock. All right, we've got games to review, we've got games to preview, so
let's get to it.
Before we do that though, just a quick one note. Tom Thibodeau has been hired by the Minnesota Timberwolves at a 5-year deal, $10 million per season, to be the coach of the Timberwolves and the team president, GM, making all personnel decisions. Look, it's a big move for the Timberwolves. Obviously, we know what Thibodeau can do. We saw what the Bulls did without him around this season. Massive regression there. We know the concerns with Thibodeau, the running players into the ground argument, the you're not necessarily heeding to sports science and that sort of stuff. But I'm going to place some of that blame on the Bulls. Did we see the injury problems get any better this season for the Bulls? Did we see Jimmy Butler play really any less minutes? None of those things happened. There were medical mishaps all over the place with Chicago, and it's not all Thibodeau related. Some of it would be. The Timberwolves brought in a great strength trainer, conditioning trainer, and I wish I could remember his name. Arnie Kanter, I think whoever he is, he was tremendous for a Timberwolves team who's been injured for many, many seasons. Rick Rubio was real healthy. No one missed any time, basically. They had four players, the Timberwolves, play 82 games. Thibodeau needs to listen to the medical staff, and I can understand not trusting the Bulls' medical staff if he didn't, because they're terrible. The Wolves are a different story, and hopefully he's able to get a lot out of this group, and I think he will. I think he'll boost their win total significantly. I don't think he's going to be doing stupid things like relying on Tayshaun Prince or Kevin Garnett or Nikola Pekovic. He's going to want the players who are going to play the best for this team. His GM work, we don't know what he's like personnel-wise. We've heard him that he was vehemently against drafting Marcus Teague and trying to get Draymond Green. Obviously, that looks brilliant in hindsight, but we don't know how many other decisions he would have made that might have been incorrect. But for now, for fantasy, you couldn't have gotten much worse than Sam Mitchell, although he did do a lot better over the second half of the season. Thibodeau is going to allow these guys to get to maybe one level more, maybe two or three levels more. It's going to be great for the fantasy value of all these Timberwolves players. This franchise is looking on the up, and that is not something we've been able to say for a very long time. Let's get into the games. Now, let's talk about the monstrous line of the night from Wednesday's games, and it goes to Dwayne Wade of the Miami Heat. Wade played, how many minutes did he play? He played 32 minutes and had 28 points. He had 3 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, and a block. And that gave you 47.6 FanDuel points, which at 7,400 is obviously tremendous value. So Wade was the monstrous line of the night. The best value DFS play of the day was Mason Plumlee in Portland. He was only at 5,300, and he turned in a monster performance. He played 31 minutes, he had 45.5 FanDuel points, and that's due to his 17 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block. You know I've been massively big on Plumlee all season, and really lamenting the fact that a lot of the time he struggles to get enough minutes to be impactful. His passing has been tremendous this year. He's a great steals big man, and he put it all together. Now, the Blazers still lost by 20, but he should be getting these minutes for a majority of the season. There is no one else who should be getting, who should be outplaying Plumlee or getting minutes above what Mason Plumlee is. And it's been a disappointing part of what Stotts has done this season in my mind. You're running some other guys out there who really didn't need to play, like the 10 minutes a game that Noah Vonleh gets. That's unrequired. And that would allow you to move Ed Davis to the 4 a little bit more. And Plumlee could even play the 4 for a little bit in stretches. Not obviously a big shooter, but that can happen for maybe a minute or two. He needs to get more minutes. He's clearly the most talented of the big men on this team, and he put it together in this one. The DFS dud of the night it goes to Marv Williams, a guy that I've had a love-hate relationship with over the last couple of seasons. He was dreadful. He played 29 minutes. He was at 5,300. He put up 9 points. He missed all 10 of his shots. He had 6 rebounds and 1 steal. And when I say love-hate, at the start of the season, I was like, this is bullshit. Why is Williams playing? Why is he getting minutes? This is unreliable. He's not this guy. Okay, maybe he is this guy. Where's this coming from? It's amazing. And okay, well, it happened. It's happened for 2 months. It's happened for 3 months. It's happened for 4 months. Okay, Marvin Williams is good now. So much so that I said, you know what? The amount of improvement this guy's shown, he's a guy I'm picking for most improved player. And then he comes out in the first two playoff games and he's absolutely dreadful. He is beyond atrocious in these first two games. And this is the Marvin Williams we all knew and we all came to know and love over his 9-10 year NBA career. Shit Marvin Williams has resurfaced in the playoffs. So I don't know what to think anymore. Like, no one's going to take his minutes away from him, but he has been brutally bad. I imagine when the Hornets head back home, he'll be better. But it's been a rough start for Marvin Williams so far in the playoffs. Let's get into these games now. Look at them in a little bit of extra detail. The Heat got the victory over the Hornets. They had some ridiculous shooting in this Miami. They shot 58% from the field. They had an amazing second quarter where I think they only missed 3 shots for the entire quarter. And it's tough to come back when they score 72 points in the first half, which is what Miami did. And they've had some massive scoring games. They scored 115 here, just big, big scoring games for Miami. And Charlotte is really struggling. I picked the Hornets in 7. It's looking like a terrible decision for me at this point. But hey, get back to Charlotte. The Hornets can get 2 and we'll see if things switch around. Al Jefferson was really good in this one, 25 and 7 in 27 minutes. And that limited Cody Zeller to only 14 minutes. Now, Zeller did have foul trouble in that sort of playing time. He still was good, though, 8 and 5 there, but Jefferson was really good. And I think we're going to see maybe 24 minutes of Jefferson on most nights, 24 of Zeller, and that's the way that they should be looking to do it because the Heat are having some difficulty trying to contain Jefferson down low. Kemba Walker was good, 29, 5, and 3 with a 1-1, and Courtney Lee had 12 points in his 42 minutes. The biggest bummer, though, for Charlotte, and which probably negates what I said earlier, that they could go back and snatch the next two at home in Charlotte, is that Nick Batum sprained his ankle again, and he, according to some of the players, he's unlikely to play in the rest of this series. So that means he's unlikely to play, he's unlikely to play again this season, because if he doesn't play, the Hornets don't get out of this round, and that means year over for Nick Batum, so that's not ideal. Jeremy Lin is going to have to step up. Now, he was average here, 26 minutes, 11 and 2, had some real issues on defense. It's going to be him and Courtney Lee that have to step up, and for DFS purposes, Lin's going to be the guy that we're going to be smashing until his salary rises, but that is going to be the case there because it's unlikely we're going to see Batum for Game 3 and Game 4, and that might be it for the series. Frank Kaminsky played 19 minutes and had 4-2, and he's not much of a factor. On the Heat, Hassan Whiteside, another big game, 17-13 with 2 blocks, and Luol Deng was big as well, 16-6 with 2 triples, a steal, and a block. Joshy Richardson, 31 off the bench, 15 points. Joe Johnson had 33 minutes. Justice Winslow had 32 minutes, and that's it, really. Gerald Green played 3 minutes. I don't think he plays every game, though, I'll put it that way. 3 minutes, no contribution at all. Amari Stoudemire played 15 minutes, and basically everyone else is the rotation. Stoudemire just giving a little bit of a chop out to Whiteside for a little bit of time, and it's working pretty well for Miami. So we know what rotation they're going to be running, and it's pretty consistent, and it's easier for us to understand what's happening with them from a DFS point of view. Onto the Pistons and the Cavs. The Pistons sort of kept it close early, but the Cavs ended up with a pretty big victory, a 17-point victory. They hit an NBA record, NBA playoff record, 23-pointers in the game. We'll look at the Pistons, and as per usual, it's the starters doing the damage. Reggie Jackson, 14, 4, and 6 with 3 steals. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 13, 8, and 2. Marcus Morris, 11, and 7, and Toby Harris, 13, 8, and 4, while Andre Drummond went 20 and 7, and a putrid 4 of 16 from the free throw line. The bench didn't provide much. Reggie Bullock and Stan Johnson are the two guys who get the majority of the minutes off the bench. Steve Blake at point guard. And then they only ran Aaron Baines out there for 6 minutes. And then they actually emptied the bench a bit. They got Spencer Dinwiddie in there for 2 minutes. Jody Meeks played 2 minutes. Anthony Tolliver got 9 minutes after not playing at all in the first game. There's very little value in any of those bench guys outside of Stan Johnson for DFS. And even then, he's a tournament punt and you just hope that he goes off. He's had 9 points in both games. In about 20 minutes, it's okay, but it's nothing too exciting. For the Cavs, LeBron, 27-6-3 with 3 steals, and J.R. Smith got hot as well. He had 21 points, and all of them came from beyond the three-point stripe. 7 triples, 5 rebounds, and an assist. It's a good J.R. game. You're probably going to get a bad J.R. game coming up, and we know that. Kyrie went 22-1-4, and Kevin Love had 16-10. And the Cavs were able to empty their bench a bit as well. Dante Jones is playing in a playoff game in 2016. James Jones played a minute. Jordy McRae played a minute. We saw Channing Frye in the rotation. Tristan Thompson started and played 13 minutes and was terrible. 1 rebound and 1 assist. No scoring whatsoever for Thompson. And they were able to run other guys out there like Mozgov. But they played Love a lot more at the 4 as well. Not really. Look, it worked, obviously. But if it's so they can get Richard Jefferson 23 minutes, I'm not sure that's a viable solution moving forward. Not really sure why Jefferson gets so many minutes and Shumpert only played 18. You need to sort of switch that around. Yes, Jefferson does provide more shooting. But really, he's, 38 years old? I don't see why Jefferson should be playing 20-plus minutes on a team who is legitimately going to be an NBA Finals team. It's a weird situation. The Blazers and the Clippers. Al-Farouq Aminu grabbed 10 boards. He had 9 points in 35 minutes. Harkless back to a pretty nice performance. 34 minutes for him. I thought he might have struggled to stay on the court against Blake, but 34 minutes, 12-7 with 2 triples. A nice night from him. The Blazers as a team shot just 34% from the field. That's atrocious, and that restricts their ability to win. CJ McCollum had 16 points, a little bit of a better night, but still 6 of 17, while Dame Lillard went 6 of 22 for 17 points. So the Clippers' defense is causing all sorts of problems for the Blazers. The bench, not a lot to really love here. They were able to empty the bench a little bit as well. But the thing I like most about that is that Pat Connaughton, Brian Roberts, Luis Montero got 1 minute, and Noel Vonleh's grouped in with that bunch. So he's in the "we're getting the shit kicked out of us" scrubs group. And that's the way it should be, because he's been really bad. Alan Crabb went scoreless. Gerald Henderson went from playing 30 minutes and playing well to having 4 points in 18 minutes. It's a terrible matchup for the Blazers. On the Clippers, Chris Paul only played 30 minutes, 25-6-5. DeAndre Jordan had only 3 points, but had 18 boards and 3 blocks. And Blake Griffin went 12-9-4 in his 31 minutes. JJ Redick was good. Jamal Crawford had 11 in his 27 minutes. And my boy Kyle Aldridge, he's amazing. 12 minutes, 8 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks. An absolutely tremendous performance from Aldridge. He is putting up stats at just a ridiculous rate. And it was minimum salary. He put up 21.6 FanDuel points in 12 minutes. If he's, I can't say enough good things about Kyle Aldridge. He has been a massive, and people and a lot of these arguments were thrown around when Jamal Crawford won Sixth Man of the Year. Now, he kept them in it. He got them wins when Blake was out. Bullshit. Aldridge got them wins when Blake was out. He got entered into the rotation. He played his 15 minutes a night, and he was dominant in those 15 minutes and saved that bench unit, defensively especially. Crawford did a lot. I know what Crawford did in those times and those games when he had to start. He was tremendous. But Aldridge has been amazing this season, and I'll stop foaming him. JJ Redick had 17 and Jeff Green had 10 points in his 17 minutes. Let's talk about the games that we're going to see on Thursday. There are 3 of those coming up. And before we do that, we're going to talk about today's sponsor, which is Loot Crate. Loot Crate, it's a monthly subscription box service. You know that by now. You've heard me talk Loot Crate. And if you've heard me talk Loot Crate, you should know that it's for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. It's less than $20 a month, and you get 6 to 8 items each month, including licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items. Each month, until the 19th, you have to get that month's specific box. This month's box is done. It was the Quest box. That is finished. The Loot Crate guys are working feverishly, I'm sure, to get May's box up and running. If you want to check out what Loot Crate has to offer, go to lootcrate.com/redrock. Check out what they've got. Use our unique URL, and that'll tell the guys at Loot Crate that, hey, we came from Josh's podcast. We came from the Red Rock Basketball Monster Show, and we support what they do, and we support who supports the Red Rock Show. If you like what Loot Crate's got to offer and you want to buy it for yourself, a subscription for a nephew, a niece, a cousin, a brother, a sister, a husband, a wife, we've got a coupon code as well, and that is REDROCK. It's one word, and it saves you $3 on any new subscription. So head across to lootcrate.com/redrock, enter that promo code, coupon code, whatever you want to call it, which is Red Rock as well. Save $3 and get your nerdy delights delivered to you each month hassle-free. All right, now that we've gotten through that, probably should give you the perfect DFS lineup, which I neglected to do at the start of the show. Here it is, the perfect DFS lineup from Wednesday. At point guard, Kemba Walker 41.5 and Chris Paul 41.7. Kemba with a pretty nice performance, obviously better than his game one night, and Chris Paul continues to be tremendous. Dwayne Wade at 47.6 and J.R. Smith at 27.5. Really tough to rely upon Wade in cash throughout the season. In the playoffs, he's a little bit more reliable, but he still remains an awesome tournament guy to look at. At small forward, it was the two Blazers, Mo Harkless and Al-Farouq Aminu. Aminu went 27.5 and Harkless had 23.9. Power forwards, Kev Love had 30 and Toby Harris went 29.6. And Mace Plumlee dropped 45.5 as the center. And that lineup would have given you 314.8 points. All right, let's look now at these games in a little bit more detail as we preview Thursday's action. There are three games to look at. The first one is the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Dallas Mavericks. The Thunder are favored by 9, and the total is 196.5 points. Tough to get a read on this series. It's smashing in game one, the Mavericks with a massive upset in game two, but there's still injury concerns here. JJ Barea is doubtful, Dave Lee is doubtful, Darren Williams is questionable. He couldn't finish out Tuesday's game, he couldn't finish the game because of his sports hernia, and that's a real concern. So there's a big chance that he doesn't play. Dirk is dealing with a knee bruise, although he is considered probable. Let's look at the point guards in this one. Ray Felton's price has jumped to 5,300, but especially if Darren Williams doesn't play, then Ray Felton is a great buy at that salary. He dropped 37 points in the last game at 5,300. He's averaging 26 across his last five. You'd have to think that you're going to get 25 points easily out of Ray Felton. If Darren's out, yeah, at least 30 from Felton. He's going to have to do a lot of the scoring, the ball handling. He's going to have to play a lot of minutes. I love him here. Russ Westbrook at 10,500. He had 45 in the first game. He's averaging 44 across the last five. Yeah, a blowout limits what he can do, but I imagine Russ is going to be pissed. He's going to want to come out and put up a big performance in Dallas. I love Russ at 10,500. Darren Williams at 5,700. The salary's come down for him. I'm just not convinced he's going to be able to play out a game, and that makes it tough to use him. At shooting guard, Devin Harris is the guy that we're looking at. He's at 3,600. He had 23.5 points in the last game. He was forced into 26 minutes. That's one of his best performances of the season, though. And that makes him a little bit risky, but at that such a low salary, you have to think that he's got to be worth it. And if Williams happens to be out, then he's going to have to play 30 minutes, and he's going to have to handle the ball, and he's going to have to score. And that's going to make him useful. Wes Matthews is at 47, really struggling to get to even 20 points on a lot of nights. He's averaging just 18 across his last five. And at 4,700, he's not a bad play, and you think that something's going to break right for him. But it just hasn't happened for most of the season. He had some nice little interesting stretches, but not happening all that often. On the Thunder, Daniel Wade is at 3,500. I like him as a punt option. We know that he could get 27, he could get 30 minutes, and maybe he gets hot. It's not a cash game play at all, but you could get 29 to 30 points out of Daniel Wade. Andre Robertson, Anthony Morrow, not a lot to really like with those guys. Same with Randy Foy. Small forwards, Kev Durant, 10,200. He only had 30 in the last game. That's terrible. A lot of his shooting was really off. The salary's dropped by $100. I'm fine with getting Durant back in there. You don't think that Durant's going to go 7 of 30 again, which he was even worse than that, actually. He'll be much better, and $10,200 is fine. Justin Anderson at $3,800. If Williams is out, I'm more keen on getting him. Now, he only played 14 minutes in the last game. I think he has to get 20-plus if Darren Williams is out. He has to get 25-plus if Williams is out, and that makes him a good play at $3,500. Kyle Singler, Josh Eustace, no thank you. Let's look at the power forward position. Dirk is at 6,800. Not really living up to what we need from him at the moment. Only had 21 in the last game. He's going to have a big game, and I think one of these two games, Dirk is going to turn in a monster performance. So I think you want to look at Dirk in tournaments. Serge Ibaka at 5,900 has been the most consistent of the Thunder players. He had 28 in the last game, and I think you should feel pretty confident that you're going to get 25 to 30 points out of Ibaka. And on a night where maybe there's not as many strong power forwards out there, I think that he's a worthy guy to get those 30 points from. Dwight Powell at 3,500. He's actually played minutes in the last couple of games, but he hasn't produced, so he's not someone that I'm interested in. At center, Enes Kanter was terrible in the last game, only 17 points. But he was averaging, in his last three, he's averaging 28 points in 27 minutes. He's not going to get 27 minutes here, maybe 20 to 22. He's at 4,500. If you're spending cheap at center, and you're going to have to because there's no one priced over 7,500, so you're going to have to go relatively cheap at center, Kanter's a guy to look for. Salah Mejri in a tournament is interesting. He's at 3,600. He played 28 minutes in the last game off the bench, put up 23 points. Now, what we've seen from Carlisle is in the last two games, in game one, he started Mejri and played Pachulia more minutes. In game two, he started Pachulia and played Mejri more minutes. So does that mean whoever starts gets less minutes? I don't know if it's as simple as that. But Mejri played well enough, they got a victory, that he's going to have to play, I would say, 20-plus minutes. And at 3,600, he does have the ability to go for 20 points, to go maybe for 25 on a good night. And he becomes a real solid punt option when there's just not many of those guys around. Zaza Pachulia is down to 3,900. Similar situation to Mejri. If you think they're going to go Pachulia's way, go with him. I'm not as confident with Zaza just because he didn't play as well in the game that they won. Steve Adams at 4,400. He had 21 in the last game. He's averaging 25 points across his last five games. He's a decent guy to look at, but I would rather take Kanter or even take a punt on someone like Mejri. The next game, the Toronto Raptors and the Indiana Pacers. The Raptors are favored by how much? They're favored by one, and the total is 193. So not a very big total in this one, which is two of these games have got totals of under 200, which is not all that normal in the NBA these days. Let's look at the point guards. Georgie Hill is down to 4,500, and he's struggling to even get to that. At some point, he's going to have a big game. I'm just not convinced. I do like him as a tournament play. I hate him as a cash game play. You could get 30 points out of George Hill, but it feels like a stretch. Kyle Lowry at 83, he had 40 in a bounce-back game in Game 2. I like using him at 83. I think he's a really good play. Corey Joseph's been awesome as well. 3,700, one of the best cheap point guards out there. 23 points in the last game. He's going to get you 20-plus points. And at 3,700, I'm pretty confident the minutes are going to be there for him as well. And he's looked really good. Ty Lawson, DeLon Wright, they're not so much. Shooting guards, DeMar DeRozan's been dreadful. He's at 7,600, so the salary has really dropped. A good game has to come from him. I don't know if it's the first one back in Indiana. I think maybe a game five is the one to really target DeRozan on. That salary, though, makes him appealing, but he's not someone I'm rushing out to use. But I still do like it. Monte Ellis at 6,000. He's had 30 points in the last game. He's averaging 30 points across his last three against Toronto. Not confident on Monte. I don't buy into it. I would rather spend the extra $1,600 on DeRozan than I would spend $6,000 on Monte. Solomon Hill's getting more minutes than I think most people anticipated. He's at 3,800. He's averaging 28 minutes across his last three games. His minutes don't really turn into big DFS production, but at 3,800 at the shooting guard position, you get 20 points out of him, that might be enough. So he's someone to keep in mind because he's playing 25 minutes a game every night, basically. Norman Powell is down to 3,700. That's a pretty steep salary drop. He only played 22 minutes in game two. He scored less than 10 fantasy points. That makes it a bit of a concern for me. So I'm not keen on using Normie. Yeah, look, he's a tournament punt, but I'd consider even having him less than Solomon Hill, despite how well that he has played. Rod Stuckey at 3,600, not much upside with Rod. If Terrence Ross is out, I'm more keen on using Powell, which he could be with concussion, but it looks like he's going to be ready to go. At small forward, Paulie George, 8,800. I think he's one of the better options out there at small forward. Not as good as Kevin Durant, but I do think that he's at 8,800. He's going to have a big game at home. CJ Miles, no. Damari Carroll, not interested either. At power forward, Patrick Patterson's playing a pretty decent amount of minutes. He played 31 in the last game and had 24 points. That 24 points that he had is the highest that he's had over his last five. He hasn't been a prolific fantasy guy. He's priced at just 3,900, but with Luis Scola really struggling, I think that Patterson should be able to get 30 minutes again and be able to put up 20-plus. That doesn't feel too much of a stretch. I like him if you're looking for some cheap numbers. Miles Turner at 5,200, it's too expensive. I'm not interested. Lavoy Allen, no. Luis Scola, no either. At center, Jonas Valanciunas has been tremendous. He's averaging 38 across his last three. His salary is now bumped up to 6,500, but I don't really care. I think that he is a really good center to play. He's especially with Jan Mahinmi struggling with a back injury, if he has to get matched up against Miles Turner for an extended period of time, it is going to be game over Indiana, and it's going to be game over in terms of Valanciunas smashing his value. Love him at 6,500. Mahinmi at 48, no confidence. Bismack Biyombo, Bebe Nogueira. Well, we know we're not using Bebe Nogueira. The last game of the night is the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets. The Warriors are favored by 5.5. Steph is currently listed as questionable. Now, Steph did say today, if I had to play today based on how I feel, I wouldn't. He did do everything in practice, though. He was in pain. They didn't scrimmage. He remains a game time decision. We know what to do if Steph is out. I don't want to use Steph because if he plays and the game is a blowout, he'll sit. If he plays, he might get hurt. It's not a good situation. Sean Livingston's the guy to go for. He had 29 points in game two. He's at 3,700. You should be putting him in every lineup if it looks like they're going to be leaning towards Steph not playing. Patrick Beverley, he played well in the game with Steph out. 28 points. He's at 4,900. I love using him as a cheap point guard. So if Steph's out, I could easily see putting Beverley and Livingston as your two point guards and then going with guys like DeRozan, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, and filling up your costs in that way. And speaking of Klay Thompson, at shooting guard, we know he excels when Steph is out. He had 43 in game two, and at 7,500, almost a no-brainer to play him. Jim Harden at 10,200, he had 44 in game two. He's going to have another 40-point night. Love using him in there as well. At small forward, Harry Barnes, he's just really struggling again. 4,600, not interested. I would rather take the 3,900 on Andre Iguodala, who put up 31 in the last game. He's going to take a bigger role on again if Steph is out, and would love using him in that spot. Trev Ariza at 5,900 has struggled as well, but I think a big Ariza game is coming. So 5,900 for me is worth a look. I think if you're looking for those mid-price small forwards, he's the best one of those out there. Corey Brewer, Mick Beasley, KJ McDaniels, there is no trustworthiness in those guys with any sort of their minutes. Power forwards, Clint Capela at 3,800. I think he was woefully underused in game two. I reckon we're going to see more Capela here at 3,800. He's a contrarian punt option. I don't imagine many people would have him in their lineups. And he goes off for 20, 24. It's a possibility. It's not high, though. Draymond at 9,000. Hey, you're spending up. Draymond against the Rockets. He had 47 in game two. If there's no Steph, 45 should be the absolute minimum for Draymond. Love him. Donatas Motiejunas, Josh Smith, Maurice Spates, none of those guys I don't think are worth there. Really wasting your time on. At center, Andy Bogut was tremendous. He had 27 points in game two at 4,500. At 4,500, I can totally get behind using Bogut in DFS lineups. Dwight Howard at 6,800, he had 33 in game two. Looked a little bit better, but I'm really not that keen on using Dwight. Valanciunas, Bogut, both of those guys, I'd easily prefer over using Howard. Let's have a look at the DFS picks of the day now. At point guard, we're talking Pat Beverley at 49, Ray Felton at 53, and Russ Westbrook at 10,500. This is assuming that Steph Curry plays. If Steph is out, then Sean Livingston obviously fits in there. At shooting guard, Devin Harris at 36, Klay Thompson at 75, and Jim Harden at 10,200. For the small forwards, Andre Iguodala at 39, Trevor Ariza at 59, and Kevin Durant at 10,200. The power forwards, Patrick Patterson, 39, Serge Ibaka, 59, and Draymond Green, 9,000. And the centers, Enes Kanter, 45, and Jonas Valanciunas, 65. And as I mentioned earlier, there is no center that is priced over 7,500. So we have no high-priced center option out there. We are done for today's podcast, guys. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Follow me, follow Basketball Monster as well, which is at Bask Monster. Check out our playoff DFS package at $14.95. Can't get much better value than that. Make sure you leave a review for this podcast on iTunes. It helps me out tremendously. Leave a thumbs up on YouTube. Give it a like. Give it a share with all your friends on Facebook, on Twitter. Just a simple share is tremendous if you can do that. I would really love if you could share the show on Twitter or on Facebook. It goes a very long way. We are done today, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.